Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
My next guest, Ainara, was diagnosed with HIV in April 2017, but she says that she never felt stigmatised over her status until she and her husband sought fertility assistance in Ireland. Ainara is with us on the programme today. Will you just bring us back, first of all, and tell us a little bit about your diagnosis, Ainara, and when or how that came about?
Absolutely. Hi, Andrea. First of all, thank you and your team for reaching out to me and giving me the opportunity to speak in such a form like your program. And yeah, going back in time, I was diagnosed in April 2017. And by October of the same year, I was already undetectable and intransmissible. That is what is usually called U equals U, which means that you achieve and maintain undetectable viral load by taking antiretrovirals. So if you are undetectable, there is such little load of the virus in your blood that even a standard lab test couldn't detect it. So if you and I will get a blood test right now, it wouldn't show up my HIV because right now it's an undetectable level. Therefore, it's also untransmittable.
Okay. So and how was it picked up in the first place then? Did you, like, were there signs or symptoms or...?
There was no sign. I don't really want to focus into that much, but long story short, I was having a partner with who, well, just one day told me you should be tested because I have a urine infection. And my studies are of nursing, so I immediately knew that that was odd. So I just make an appointment with my GP, who back then was having a bit of backlog, so I saw an ad of LGBTQ place here in Cork, the Chambers, that used to do sometimes ITS tests. And I was just like, look, you know, well, just to clear my mind, I'm going to go and take it.
Okay.
And it's so positive for HIV, and I couldn't believe it myself. I asked the person that did it to do it twice and even a third time, And I couldn't believe it myself. I called my best friend, Maria, crying like a baby. And she said, look, we're going to forget what happened today. Tomorrow you call your GP again immediately. In the meantime, we're going to get a few beers and we're going to try to forget what just happened today. Yeah.
So the diagnosis, you got that diagnosis. But and day to day, do you have any effect or does it impact you, Ainara, or no?
Not at all.
Not at all.
As I said, since October, I've been undetectable and untransmissible. I have my checkups every 6 months that they literally check everything, even if by any chance my CD4 level cells get a bit higher and this could affect my liver or kidneys, nothing. And my doctor always said that I am the healthiest sick patient that she has.
Yeah. So fast forward some years and you find yourself going through or hoping, intending, I suppose, to go through fertility treatment in Ireland. Tell us about the impact now of the HIV diagnosis on that, Ainara.
So it has been almost three years of nightmare, Andrea, of doors that just keep closing on our faces. By 2022, we were having issues to try to conceive. And obviously, we just think, okay, we need to get a check. The issue might be on my side or on my husband's side. And they were just checking on me and everything was fine. My MSH levels were absolutely fantastic. No system, everything was okay. And my gynecologist suddenly said, but no one has checked your husband. Okay, so we make an appointment with a fertility clinic. And they asked my husband for sperm sample. And he was diagnosed with azoospermia. And azoospermia is the absence of spermosome in the ejaculation. So he ejaculates, but not spermosome comes out, which doesn't mean that he's not producing. It's just that most likely the tubes are either non-existent or are scarce. And with this diagnosis, they run a genetic test and they discover that he has cystic fibrosis. Thankfully, he has what is called atypical cystic fibrosis, which means that none or only on the symptoms it is present, which in his case, and thankfully, is only the fertility issue. And here is when all the doors start closing. Because,
why?
Well, so at the beginning in Ireland, there was no treatment for patients with HIV at all. But we discovered with Imer, the journalist that first did our article for the journal, that there is a new legislation that HIV patients whose partners are negative can get access to intrauterine insemination, but not to HIV. And the excuse is that for IVF, they will need a separate lab because there is a risk of cross-contamination. There are a lot of studies that doesn't back up this. This is just a theory. But because my husband will need what is called a TESE, which is a testicular extraction of the spermosome, then we need IVF. So here are all the doors are closing. Clinics just keep saying that they are ready. They are just waiting for the government to give the green light. But it is pathetic because at the end of the day, I have my GP, my gynecologist, and my blood specialist in infectious diseases giving me the green light because, as I said before, my HIV status is undetectable and intransmissible. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. I've been calling clinics outside in the UK, in Germany, in my home country in Spain. And when I ask the first question, do you treat patients with HIV? They literally have laughed at me, like, why wouldn't we? If you are undetectable and intransmissible, we can treat you. There's
so
no
because
problem.
Of the type of HIV you have, if you were back home in Spain, Ainara, or in other European countries, you would be able to go through the same fertility treatment as everybody else. But because of the type of HIV or the type of diagnosis that you have here in Ireland, you can't. Am I that right?
No. The type of HIV, there is only just one type. The thing here in Ireland is that I need IVF. So in vitro fertilization. If I will need only intrauterine insemination, they will go ahead. However, since it is IVF, the clinic, the fertility clinics in Ireland need a separate lab to do it.
It's a separate lab. Okay. So with where does that leave you?
Well, in a really dark space, Andrea, to be honest, because I've never felt dirty. I've never felt bad when I got the diagnosis. Probably because of my studies in nursing, I already knew what was about. I know that we are not in the 80s anymore. This is not a death sentence. It's more of a chronic infectious illness that you can live with no issue at all. You can have, if you have established partner, as I do with my husband, have sexual intercourses without protection because it won't be transmitted. I can have kids without transmitting it. There's no risk. There is just 1% risk. And when fertility clinics keep closing doors or keep sending me back emails, sorry, we don't treat patients like you. Here is when I'm feeling now, 7 years after my diagnosis, when I'm feeling dirty, is when I'm feeling maybe I don't deserve to be a mother just because I have this diagnosis. And it is not fair because this is starting to affect my mental well-being. It is absolutely ridiculous because there is also patients with hepatitis to who I admire so much and all my respect to them. But patients with hepatitis who have also a viral illness have access to IVF in Ireland. So it doesn't make any sense that some patients with viral diseases have access and HIV patients no. So here is where it comes again. Is this just discrimination and the stigma of the HIV on the table again?
So you feel it's a stigmatization because of your HIV diagnosis, Ainara?
That's what I think and that's how I feel.
Okay. And you've never really experienced that before when you were in Ireland over the past 7 or 8 years. It's just now.
Not at all. I've been in Ireland now for 9 years, but diagnosed with the HIV for 7. And I've never felt like that before. When I go every 6 months to my checkup, there is a lot of people there and nobody look at each other like, oh, look at you. Or when I go to my GP, even my GP said, you will be amazed with the amount of patients in Ireland that have HIV. In the last 12 years, about 4,000 men and about 1,400 women have been diagnosed in Ireland with HIV. So the numbers are high, but also because of my husband's diagnosis with the cystic fibrosis, here is where more complications come in. But Ireland has the highest rate of cystic fibrosis patients per capita in the world.
Okay.
So we are not an exception of something like that.
And have you had an opportunity to speak? Because a number of the politicians here in Ireland, and I'm sure you're probably aware of this, have spoken out previously about their own, you know, journey with fertility and fertility treatment. Have you had any engagement at all with anybody in government or any of the lobby groups about this?
We are waiting for answer on their side. We are aware that Core 96 FM is sending the recording of the interview that I had with them on Monday. They are supposed to come back to us with answers rather than to we acknowledge that we got the recording.
Well, perhaps some of them might hear your story here as well on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Inara, if you get any update, do keep in touch and do let me know if there's any change to the situation.
I will, absolutely. And once again, thank you.
Not at all. Take care and thank you for getting in touch as well. That's Inara there. It does seem pretty incredible. If it's not the case, it's not how it's dealt with in terms of the fertility treatment across other European countries. Look, if you want to share your story, drop me an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.